This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support for this broadcast is provided by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
Welcome to AMDA On The Go. This podcast will focus on an approach to urinary tract infections, UTIs, in the long-term care setting. In an August 2018 National Healthcare Safety Network Long-Term Care Facility Component Training video entitled Epidemiology and Prevention of UTI, geriatrician and infectious disease specialist Dr. Teresa Rowe presented that infections were not only the most common cause of harm in the skilled nursing setting, but that 71% of UTIs, the most common cause of bacterial infection in long-term care, were thought to be preventable. The subsequent toll on the healthcare system is mind-boggling. According to a 2016 systematic review entitled Costs of Infection Prevention Practices in Long-Term Care Settings, there were an estimated 1.6 to 3.8 million healthcare-associated infections annually, costing between $38 to $137 million for antimicrobial therapy and up to $2 billion for hospitalization. Today, criteria used for the diagnosis of UTI still appear to be somewhat blurred. For us, JoAMDAs in the trenches, the questions on whether to use the McGeer criteria from 2012 or the Loeb criteria from 2001 are only a portion of the issue. In this era of increasing long-term care regulations and quality metrics mandated by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, establishing the correct program around UTI prevention and identification, as well as the appropriate use of antibiotic regimens, continue to be the focus of many facility quality assessment and practice improvement, QAPI, initiatives. Despite these efforts, however, the after-hours phone call regarding a long-term care resident with foul-smelling urine or an episode of confusion and a family member insisting on a urine test or antibiotic now continues to test the ability to appropriately and satisfactorily manage and maintain this complicated subset of patients. Is there a solution to the long-term care UTI issue? Will the battle between the ability to recognize and treat a true UTI versus the educated decision to monitor a situation ever be won? The answer may be yes, and in part due to the work of multiple providers, including Dr. David Nace, a geriatrician who has been dedicated to the prevention of infection, the appropriate use of antibiotics, and the promotion of vaccinations in a long-term care setting. His publications have been like a chisel seeking to find the art between the marble of care. In a September 2018 JAMDA, the Journal of the American Medical Director Association article entitled The Improving Outcomes of UTI Management in Long-Term Care Project, Consensus Guidelines for the Diagnosis of Uncomplicated Cystitis in Nursing Home Residents, Dr. Nace and others spotlight a Delphi approach to the UTI conundrum. And Dr. Nace is with us now. Dr. David Nace is a geriatrician and researcher at the University of Pittsburgh, is an associate professor of medicine and chief of medical affairs for UPMC Senior Communities. Dr. Nace, welcome to AMDA On The Go.
Thank you, Dr. Saltzman, and it's a pleasure and honor to be here.
Dr. Nace, your recent article seeks to provide the long-term care physician with a path towards understanding uncomplicated cystitis while also promoting the CMS antibiotic stewardship requirements of participation. Lead us through the generation of your algorithm. How did you create your survey and gather the right 20 members of your expert panel? Tell us about your ultimately determined signs and symptoms of uncomplicated cystitis via the consensus rounds process. What convinced you that the Delphi process itself would be a validated one or the correct way to proceed, especially considering how it would apply to us JoAMDAs in the trenches?
Certainly. There are a lot of questions in there. The approach to UTI that we took was to step back and really think, what is it that we're doing? As an example, if you would ask, how do you diagnose cancer? Most people would say, well, what type of cancer? And the same thought process has been for UTI. We've looked at it and we said, you know, can you diagnose a UTI? And the question should be really, well, what type of urinary tract infection are you talking about? For example, pyelonephritis will present differently than prostatitis in men, and it will present differently than the individual who has just a simple bladder infection. And so our work was to really step back, take a look at that, and deconstruct this whole concept of UTI and recognize we're talking a bunch of different things. That's been, I think, the fundamental challenge of prior UTI guidelines, is they've lumped everything together, and that's led to confusion. If you look at what clinicians have the most difficulty with, it's deciding whether this is a simple bladder infection or whether this is due to asymptomatic bacteria. Is it due to something else, and there's just bacteria in the urine, and we don't know how to approach that? So that's where we put most of our focus on. We know that most people are going to be able to understand pyelonephritis and diagnose that. We know that prostatitis will have its own presentation, but we really felt that we needed to separate this and focus on this specific area. What we did in order to do that was we used the Delphi process, which is a consensus-based process. We started with a detailed review of the literature, looking at every single study that looked at older adults and nursing home patients and how they present it with signs and symptoms. We realized that we couldn't do a thorough guideline that would use today's GRADE criteria, the gold standard today, for guidelines, because the evidence simply was not that strong. So we took the studies, we looked at them, we identified what signs and symptoms were alleged to be involved in simple bladder infections or other types of UTIs. We created an entire list of signs and symptoms, and then we submitted it to a Delphi panel who then rated these criteria. The way that was done was we took experts in long-term care and post-acute medicine who were practicing. They had practical experience, not just research experience. And I think that's very important for us to kind of understand from the front lines. Looking at that, we were then able to distill this down through three questionnaire rounds, and we identified just a few simple symptoms and signs, really, that are likely to represent cystitis. What's neat about these criteria is that they are both symptoms and they are also signs. For example, dysuria or pain on urination is something that the person can complain about, but it's also something that can be observed. When you toilet that individual and it looks like they're having dysuria and pain, and where that gets at is the difficulty we have for individuals in this setting. Who oftentimes have dementia, confusion, may not be able to relate their typical signs and symptoms. Urinary frequency and urgency, oftentimes clinicians confuse those. We've lumped those together as one criteria because urgency and frequency go together. And again, sign and a symptom of the disease process as well. And then we've also included hematuria and suprapubic pain as the other two criteria. So those five criteria together are what we have identified.
So I want to pick up on something you just mentioned. In your article, you discussed the power of your algorithm to deconstruct the concept of suspected UTI into multiple domains. Is it truly possible, and I think you're telling me it is, but is it truly possible to distinguish uncomplicated cystitis versus asymptomatic bacteria? And something else you touched on, given the unique population of residents in long-term care, especially with the substantial presence of dementia, does the validity of your algorithm still apply? Do we need to still approach this subsegment of long-term care, i.e. the resident with dementia, differently in unveiling a UTI?
Those are excellent questions. What I would say is that in looking at this, no set of criteria are ever going to be perfect. And if we think that they're going to be perfect, we're just misleading ourselves or, you know, being delusional ourselves. I do believe that these criteria, because they include both signs and symptoms, that almost all patients in the nursing home population should be able to report on these. It's also important for us to remember that it's incumbent upon us to really be assessing those individuals. The difficulty with the difference between cystitis and non-infection, be it asymptomatic bacteria, or just colonization where there's an individual who had a poorly collected urine sample. The difference between those two can be hard for most clinicians to try to grasp. But what I think we ought to think about is that urinary tract infections from the 1960s forward, the definition has been evolving, and how to really diagnose a UTI has been difficult for most people. But what we do know is how to diagnose asymptomatic bacteria. The data is very clear. There have been multiple studies from the 1980s forward that have said this is asymptomatic bacteria, and it is the absence of urinary signs and symptoms. And there are studies that even have gone further and said it's the absence of the non-specific signs and symptoms. So the individual who is not eating as much, functional status has declined. They're acting a little wifty. They're not themselves. Those type of presentations have been looked at. And when those are the only signs and symptoms present, it's not an infection. We know that from the literature. So we may not be able to diagnose UTI with complete confidence. We do, though, have the ability to diagnose asymptomatic bacteria with complete confidence. So that's what I think is kind of important for us to remember. And I would add here, I think it's time for us, looking at this from a future perspective of where we need to go, we need to retire the term asymptomatic bacteria. Because I think that is a term that is confusing to most practicing clinicians. It's certainly to the nurses that I work with. The culture is positive. It's 100,000 colonies of E. coli. And they were, not eating as well the other day. That's the only sign and symptom. Is that asymptomatic? And that asymptomatic bacteria definition really needs to be retired. I think we need to think about it as colonization, because that's exactly what it is.
And what it is not a UTI.
And it's not a UTI.
Our interview will continue after this brief message from the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support the future of PALTC by remembering the foundation in your will or trust. Email Christine Ewing at cewing@paltcfoundation.org for more information. Thank you.
We're talking with Dr. David Nace about his algorithm to determine UTIs in the long-term care setting. Dr. Nace, in conclusion of your recent JAMDA article, you write, although it may be possible to implement change on a single unit or facility, promoting practice change across many facilities is difficult. Why would this be if the practitioner in long-term care is using your algorithm in a standardized way? Is it because of the downstream issues or questions that still remain, like how do we educate our frontline staff on patient assessment? How do we best communicate with families? Which antibiotics do we use? What dose or duration or route of administration? Now that we have this predictive model, how do we proceed with the best comprehensive management?
So that is the key that we're all looking, that's the holy grail of what we do, taking research and putting it into the bedside, is learning how to disseminate it. It's okay for a provider to do it on a unit, and that provider can also subsequently take it to other units potentially. What becomes harder is having all the providers throughout the facility buying into that, because what we have found, and we are looking at these criteria as well as treatment criteria, we have a treatment guideline that is under review right now and undergoing revision that we hope to have published soon. And we have the trial where we piloted this to try to see if we can disseminate it across 25 facilities across the United States. And then there's a dissemination phase to take it to even more facilities. So being able to find what it is, what kind of tools do we need, what kind of education we need to provide, how we can convince people that this is the right thing to do. I can tell you, without going into the details of the study, that it looks like there are things we can do in order to get buy-in. But a lot of it becomes frontline staff buy-in as well as the provider buy-in. Those two are probably the most important. There's oftentimes this consideration that it's the family driving this. But I think if we could step back, the reason the family says that, if we could step back and provide education to the family with confidence, and it is a consistent confidence between us, the nursing staff, and everybody else involved in the care, I think we have the ability. We have spent decades training family members that any symptom is a UTI.
Wow, that's right.
And we now have to get to that point where we detrain them of that. So it's going to be a long slog through the jungle here. But I think ultimately it's one that we can actually accomplish. And it's just figuring out the best way to kind of train all those providers involved.
What a great goal that would be. Dr. Nace, as has become my custom, in the time we have remaining, I wish to be somewhat provocative with you. I presented earlier the substantial consequential figures around infections in the long-term care setting. It sounds like we will, but do you think we will really make a dent in this issue? What will realistic success look like in the prevention, management, treatment of UTI? Is another algorithm just around the corner? What are your expectations from your fellow practitioners, and how do we help empower the care that they provide?
So that's actually an excellent series of questions. I do believe that we will be able to make a difference. What should the goal be? I think this is much like antipsychotics. The goal is not zero with antipsychotics, and the goal with antibiotics should never be zero. There are infections that will need to be treated. What we're trying to identify is during this project, we've called it the Goldilocks phenomenon. Not too much and not too little, somewhere in between is just right. And that's what we're trying to do, and I think these criteria actually get us towards that. They focus on the most common dilemma, which is that cystitis asymptomatic bacteria conundrum. They identify symptoms that are, you know, signs as well as symptoms that can be applied to individuals with cognitive impairment. So I think we can get there. Without going into the details or results of our ongoing study, which is in data analysis right now, I can just allude to the fact that I think there could be promise that we could have success in reducing over-treatment of UTI. So I think it's a realistic goal. Again, the goal is not to get to zero, because there are UTIs out there and we do need to treat those.
We have been fortunate to speak with geriatrician and researcher Dr. David Nace as he continues to chisel away at the long-term care infection prevention and management questions. Dr. Nace, thank you so much for spending your time with AMDA On The Go.
Thank you so much, and again, it's my pleasure.
References for this podcast can be found at paltc.podbean.com. Until next time, I'm Dr. Wayne Saltzman for this innovation podcast that we call AMDA On The Go.
Support for this broadcast is provided by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care. If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM, pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, please email cmd@paltc.org with your name and the podcast title. Thank you.